So we're at Matthew 5. And I just want to briefly touch on some of these verses here. Verse 21, I'll start reading from there again. You have heard it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be subject to judgment. But I tell you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be subject to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raka, shall be subject to the council, and whoever says, you fool, shall be subject to fiery Gehenna. Look, a name was important in ancient days, right? That's why you see names change. God changes Jacob's name to Israel, Abram's name to Abraham, Avram to Abraham, and you see names change because names reflect character, okay? This is not somebody joking around like we do in our age and therefore being subject to fiery Gehenna. This is labeling somebody's very character. Therefore, verse 23, therefore, if you are presenting your offering upon the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent while you are with him on the way. Otherwise, your opponent may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the assistant, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I tell you, you will never get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Okay? Any thoughts on this before I dig into the verses a little bit? Okay. So, the basic teaching here is simple, and it's straightforward, and it doesn't need any great biblical exposition. The great, big, overriding teaching here is be at peace. Right? So notice in verses 21 and 22, the subject is you, okay? You don't be angry. You don't not just murder. You make sure you don't even call somebody a bad name, this and that. And then at verse 23, the focus changes a little bit if somebody's angry with you. Somebody has a fault against you, okay? And so in everything, we are to do the best we can to make amends and to be at peace because we are family after all, right? That word brother there. We're brothers, we're sisters, make peace. Verses 23 through 24, get rid of anger before entering into worship. Verses 25 through 26, make amends before going before a judge. Seek reconciliation. And all of this is only possible if you took Matthew 5, 3 through 10 seriously. You know, if you are meek, right? If you are merciful, if you are pure in heart, then apply it here by not being angry. Apply it here by being that peacemaker he calls for in Matthew 5:9. Okay, so get these down first. Get 5, 3 through 10 down. Get that spirit right. And then you'll be wanting to make peace. You'll want to be a peacemaker. You'll want to get rid of the anger and so forth. Okay? Alright, I'll move on. Verse 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that everyone who looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you that one part of your body should be destroyed than that your whole body be thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you that one part of your body should be destroyed than that your whole body go into Gehenna. Okay, I would like to read something from Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. This is typical C.S. Lewis dry wit, insightful dry wit. How many have read something from C.S. Lewis? Okay, those who haven't, I encourage you to. He was a phenomenal Christian writer, apologist. Anyway, he says this from his book, Mere Christianity. You can get a large audience together for a striptease act. That is, to watch a girl undress on stage. Now, suppose you came to a country where you could fill a theater by simply bringing a covered plate onto the stage and then slowly lifting the cover so as to let everyone see, just before the lights went out, that it contained a mutton chop or a bit of bacon. Would you not think that in that country something had gone wrong with the appetite for food? And would not anyone who had grown up in a different world think there was something equally queer about the state of the sex instinct among us? So it's right. It seems like, I mean, the sexual drive is so strong, right? And it's got to be dealt with here. Yeshua doesn't allow here for lust. He doesn't say, well, as long as you don't act out on what's going on in your mind, it's okay. But he continues on with this idea of the heart. Being Torah observant is a matter of the heart. Your mind has got to be pure, or you're not really obeying the Torah. Okay? Let's take a look at a couple verses here. Romans 8. Start right at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah Yeshua has set you free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so the sin we struggled with, we're supposed to be set free from that. For what was impossible for the Torah, since it was weakened on account of the flesh, God has done, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as a sin offering, he condemned sin in the flesh. Okay, so Paul makes a point that the Torah is not bad. He says that several times. There's nothing wrong with the Torah. What was wrong is the people trying to follow Torah. Because of our sinfulness, we couldn't follow Torah. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the Torah was powerless to help us with that. But now through Messiah, we have help to overcome the sinfulness in our flesh. Continuing on verse 4. So that the requirement of the Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Ruach, Ruach means what? Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Ruach. Okay? So you have to live according to the Spirit. Don't try to do this in your own strength. Do this by the fact that that you are united with Messiah and that he has written the Torah on your hearts, that you have the Spirit of God within you. Walk not according to the flesh. You won't be able to fulfill the demands of Torah. But walk according to the Spirit. Now, walking according to the flesh, you may be able to not have outright adultery. But you won't be able to control that mind unless you're walking by the Spirit of the Lord, right? For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Ruach is life and shalom. God bless you. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not submit itself to the law of God, for it cannot. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so we have got to, this is a spiritual issue. Being Torah observant is a spiritual issue. Okay? Let's look at another verse. Okay? So the first thing here is to have your mindset on the things of the Spirit. Have a spiritual mindset, and you do that through communion with Messiah. Philippians 4:8, very popular verse here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, yes. Oh, am I moving too fast? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any virtue and if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Okay? So, how do we combat sexual thoughts? Okay, this this is, from my understanding, from some of the reading I've done, this is more an issue for us guys than for women, usually. That may not be true in every case, but that's what I've heard, and it seems to be the case. Guys, we've got to control our minds, okay? We do this through communion with the Lord, allowing His Spirit to remake us. And you don't do it by sitting there thinking, I'm not going to have a sexual thought. I'm not going to have a sexual... You don't just combat it, but you fill your mind with these good things, right? You fill your minds with... You keep that mind active, right? You worship the Lord. You pray. You keep the mind active in that spiritual mindset. Romans 5:8, right? Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the one committing sexual immorality sins against his own body. I want to emphasize there the word flee. Flee from sexual immorality. Okay? And 1 Timothy 2:22. As I hit these individual verses, if you want to turn to them, that's great. If you want to just listen, that's fine too. Okay, there is no...
3:22?
Well, I said 2:22, but there is no 1 Timothy 2:22. So that is not correct. Maybe it was 2:22? 2:22. Thank you. Can I borrow your pen again real quick? Thank you. 2 Timothy 2:22. Now flee from youthful desires. Instead, pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and shalom with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Flee. Sometimes you got to get out of there. Sometimes, no matter how spiritual you are, no matter how much you understand, Messiah died, and I died with Him. He resurrected. I'm resurrected with Him. I have a new... Sometimes that inheritance of the flesh that we have is just too much. Don't, you know, if you need to get away from the computer, get away from the computer. Some guys, you need to, before you even sit down at the computer, you need to say, okay, I'm doing this, this, and this, and then I'm getting off. Because you hang around on the computer and don't even necessarily visit bad websites, but the advertisements come up with women in bikinis or whatever it is. It's all over the place. Why? Because the sexual appetite is so great. You know, people don't pay big bucks to see a striptease of a plate of mutton chops, right? Like C.S. Lewis said. But that sexual drive is so strong, sometimes you just got to get out of there, right? and use as your role model. Anybody know who I'm going to point to back in Genesis?
It's not going to be Eve.
No. Who fled sexual temptation? Joseph. Very good. So here is your role model. Genesis 39, 6 through 12. Okay. I'm going to start at the last part of the verse. Now Joseph was handsome in form and handsome in appearance. Now after these things, the master's wife lifted up her eyes at Joseph and said, "Come lie down with me." But he refused. "Look," he said to his master's wife, "my master doesn't think about anything in the house with me in charge, and everything that belongs to him he entrusts into my hand. No one in this house is greater than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I commit this great evil and sin against God?" So whenever she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her invitation to lie down beside her, to be with her. Now on one such day, he came into the house to do his work, and none of the people of the house were there in the house. Then she grabbed him by the garment, saying, "Come, lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand, fled, and went outside. And likewise, we need to do the same thing, right? With my kids and with other teens in the congregation, the rule is you're not allowed to be alone with somebody of the opposite sex. Even if you're sure you're not interested, don't overestimate your self-control, right? Better to underestimate your self-control and avoid the situation altogether, right? And if you guys ever see a boy and a girl alone together here at the congregation, let the parents know or let me know, and because it's just too great of a temptation, right? Okay. Any questions on that? Okay.